I'd like to call to order this Wednesday, August 3rd meeting for the Inclusion, Diversity, Equity, and Access Committee. Roll call, please, Winter.
Chair Perkins?
Here.
Vice Chair Arascata?
Here.
Regent McMichael?
Here.
Regent Moran? Regent Moran? Regent Tarkanian?
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. And with that, I'd like to go to our land acknowledgement. Before beginning, we take a minute to recognize that here in Nevada, we stand on the land of the Washishu, Washo, Numu, Northern Paiute, Nui, Western Shoshone, and Nuwu, Southern Paiute. We take a moment to recognize and honor their stewardship that continues into today. With this recognition, we state an intention to rightfully include their voice and respect them as the 27 sovereign tribal nations of Nevada. Sorry. And with that, I'd like to open public comment. Is there any public comment in Reno?
None in Reno.
Thank you. Is there any public comment in Elko?
No public comment in Elko.
Thank you. Is there any public comment in Las Vegas? And please state your name and spell your first and last name for the record. Thank you. Thanks.
This one's all right. Hello. For the record, Dr. Marcela Rodriguez Campo, Marcela M-A-R-C-E-L-A, Rodriguez R-O-D-R-I-G-U-E-Z Campo, C-A-M-P-O. Pronouns she, her, ella. I'm the Director of Community Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion at Nevada State College and a member of the Inclusion, Diversity, Equity, and Access Council. Thank you so much for your time today. I stand before you today as both a byproduct of our system and as a multicultural education and immigration community scholar. I am compelled today to speak in support of the NSHE Board of Regents anti-discrimination resolution. I want to use this time to address two main points that merit emphasizing as you consider your vote for this resolution. First, all of us, every single one of us, benefits from initiatives that support and aspire to improve the outcomes of students and staff from historically minoritized communities. When we create spaces that affirm the humanity of one group, we invariably enable ourselves and one another to exist in the world more fully and to affirm our own humanity. On the other hand, when we allow racism, homophobia, transphobia, xenophobia, sexism, ableism to exist in any space, in any form, we not only sacrifice the humanity of the communities we have a duty to protect, but we also allow our own humanity to be slowly chipped away. As higher education professionals, we have an obligation to serve the needs of our students, the majority of which in Nevada are students from historically minoritized communities. Of all NSHE students who enrolled in the fall of 2021, 63.8% of them were students who identified with a historically minoritized group, and 58.1% of them were students who identified as women. Let us not forget that our system includes 5 HSIs, 3 MSIs, and 3 ANAPZ eligible institutions, each of which have collectively contributed millions of dollars in funding to build programs, initiatives, research, and which have enabled our institutions to grow and advance. It is to our collective benefit and our solemn duty to take a unified and unwavering stance on stamping out bigotry and hate across our state, particularly as we are major beneficiaries of the contributions that people from diverse communities make to our state. Second, this resolution in regards to diversity and inclusion work represents the floor, not the ceiling. This resolution entrusts to each of us with the fundamental duty of striving to be better humans for the sake of our communities, to reflect, to read, to learn, and ultimately to hold one another accountable to build a better world. If that is not the essence of our role as the Nevada system of higher education, then we have failed. Thank you for your time, and I offer you these remarks and ask that you vote in support of the anti-discrimination resolution. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Any other public comment? And with that, we'll move to the chair's report. In the essence of time, I'll only read like 30. I'm sorry. I did skip the minutes. Thank you. Minutes for possible action. We need to consider the approval for the minutes from the June 10th, 2022 meeting. Do I hear something from the floor?
I'll make the motion to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Regent Arascata, seconded by Regent McMichael. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? The minutes are accepted unanimously. Thank you. Now to the chair's report. This resolution has been a long time coming, and I'm very happy that it's coming before us today. The reason that it took a little bit longer than most people expected was because I wanted to make sure that we included everybody, and I think Affirm Humanity was, let's affirm humanity by bringing in as many people as we possibly can to make sure that we get this right the first time. It's very important and very necessary for us to have community engagement and involvement, which again is part of the system of higher education, is to include everyone. That's part of our statement and part of what we should be exposing people to. With that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Williams, who is going to give us a little bit of a briefing.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Tillery Williams, Senior Fiscal and Policy Analyst. This anti-discrimination resolution was first brought before this board in March of this year as an information-only item. At the time, both the board and the IDEA Council co-chair spoke to the reasons for creating and the importance of approving such a resolution. The board then directed staff, and more specifically, NSHE's legal department, to further review the resolution for any potential legal implications to ensure that the draft presented at the time did not include any prohibitions or unlawful enforcements against free speech. As you all are aware, there seemed to be some uncertainty among staff as to the level of vetting that had taken place at the time at that March meeting. So since that March meeting, NSHE's chief general counsel and the general counsels from each of the institutions have reviewed the draft presented in March. And as a result of that review, the following changes were made to that particular draft and therefore are reflected in the draft before you today. First, there were a few minor grammatical errors that were corrected. Second, there was a section added that references the board's existing pledge to freedom of expression. And basically what that did was call out existing board policy located in Title 4, Chapter 1, Section 38 of the handbook. And lastly, during the further review by the chief general counsel and the general counsels from the institutions, a section was updated to remove language that could give rise to First Amendment challenges, and particularly around language regarding hate speech. Madam Chair, if I may, I'd like to stop right there to see if there are any questions.
Thank you so much. If there's any questions, I'd like to take them at this time from any board members or present regents. Regent Arascata, or Vice Chair Arascata, sorry.
There it goes. Mr. Wood, thank you very much, Madam Chair. Mr. Williams, thank you for the quick background. That was wonderfully stated. If I can direct this question over to General Counsel Ms. Russom in regards to some of the cleanup items that were conducted, in particular to the last page, page 2 of 3, the second whereas from the bottom. Whereas the board values and the last whereas, if you can just identify or kind of discuss some of the cleanup items that were conducted.
Excuse me, I'm just going to close chair business and then open item number 4. I overlooked that. Sorry.
Apologize. Thank you very much, ma'am.
Tina Russom, Deputy General Counsel. Madam Chair, through you to Vice Chair Arascata. Thank you for the question. So the reference point that you're referring to, just to restate it, is page 2 of 3 of the resolution, the second to last whereas. That language was not present in the version that was presented to the board in March, as you mentioned. What that section does is it adds in a reference to the Board of Regents Handbook, Title 4, Chapter 1, Section 38. And one of the purposes of that is restating the board's pledge to the freedom of expression consistent with the First Amendment for open inquiry, for debate, and for discourse without interference. And so it was important to restate that here as it is existing policy, and it does in fact remind us that all speech, specifically speech that occurs on our campus institutions and within our NSHE facilities, is subject to the First Amendment.
Excellent. Were there any other specific items that needed some tightening up or cleaning up or additions, please?
Madam Chair, Tina Ressam, Deputy General Counsel, through you to Vice Chair Arascotta. That is correct. As Mr. Williams stated, there were some typographical corrections that were made, specifically page 1 of 3, the third whereas. There was some language that was cleaned up. It now reads, one federally designated as an Asian American and Native American Pacific Islander serving institution. So there was some clerical errors that were, or rather typographical errors that were cleaned up in terms of just grammatical corrections. On the second page, so page 2 of 3, the second to last, be it further resolved, as Mr. Williams indicated, the hate speech provisions were withdrawn. Again, the Chief General Counsel worked with the Institutional General Counsels to ensure that this resolution supports the board's position, but also so that it does not preclude any language that is, in fact, protected speech under the First Amendment. So there were some language, some words in there that were removed out of those concerns for First Amendment implications. The very last, be it further resolved, again, it just had some clarification in terms of reading more succinctly and reading in a more direct manner. So there was that. And then lastly, there was language that was removed at the very bottom to, again, conform to our concerns about compliance with the First Amendment. If that answers your question, I thank you for the question. If not, I welcome additional questions. So thank you.
No, I commend both yourself and Mr. Williams. Well done.
Thank you. Are there any other? I'll recognize Regent Boylan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through you to Councilor Tina Russell. I'm just curious if the word everybody means everybody. Why do we have to always add these schisms and isms and obias and things in there when we can just say with one simple word in the English language, everybody? We will treat everybody the same and fairly, and there will be no discrimination. So I just don't understand how this is. Why is this done? Why do we have to mention all these things and not just use, you know, keep it simple, stupid kind of thing? Everybody. Madam Counsel, if you could help me with that.
Madam Chair, Tina Ressam, Deputy General Counsel, through you to Regent Boylan. Regent Boylan, thank you for the question. Some of that is not something that is a legal question. Some of that would be a policy-driven response and answer. What I can afford you in terms of legal advice is that this policy is designed to be broad. This policy is designed to be inclusive and, as you mentioned, to include everybody, to make sure that everyone's rights are equally protected. And so in terms of the language that's been presented, it does, again, support the protections and affirmations afforded to individuals exercising their First Amendment rights. It has been vetted by counsel. We are comfortable with the language as it exists. And again, I apologize. I know I'm not fully answering your question, but a lot of the question that you posed, I would feel more comfortable being addressed by a policy individual or perhaps offline.
Thank you, Madam Counsel. Well, Madam Chair, is there anyone who could help me with that? What's the policy? A simple word is everybody. So we're still back at the same keep it simple, stupid kind of thing. Everybody, I think, should be treated equally, right?
That is correct.
I mean this seriously. I really need to know. Yes, ma'am. Sorry.
And I'll ask Mr. Williams.
Madam Chair, again, Tillery Williams for the record, through you to Regent Boylan. Regent Boylan, to answer your question, so this was a grassroots effort that kind of found its way up through the IDEA Council, and that the IDEA Council is made up of our chief diversity officers and others at our institutions. And much of this language that is being presented to you in this particular resolution came from the people, the boots on the ground, which would be our chief diversity officers. And so these are individuals that are highly regarded and well-versed in these types of matters. And that's where the basis for this resolution kind of took shape and form, if that answers your question.
Thank you, sir. I think I get the drift, but we'll be just splitting hair here. So in the in the essence of saving time, I'll keep this for offline for somebody. If there's anyone, I'd like them to explain it to me. I'd really appreciate it, but not here. Thank you so much.
Thank you for that, Regent Boylan. I'd like to recognize Regent Moran.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Appreciate the time, and my apologies for the computer glitch earlier today. I think I can save my comments actually for the end of the agenda item, and or new business.
Thank you, Regent. Any other questions?
No, thank you, Madam Chair.
Any questions from Regent Carvalho?
Thank you, Chairwoman Perkins. Just briefly in response to Regent Boylan, at least from one region's perspective, I feel that a reaffirmation of our foundational beliefs in terms of access for all individuals in our system was needed at this time. So I think that this resolution was timely and puts into words how many of us feel on the board, in addition to those within our system. So that's just my comment as one regent. But I do have a question for you. I see that this is an item for possible action for this committee. Is it your intention to then bring it to the full board for approval? And where does this resolution go next? Thank you.
Thank you for that question. I'd like to address Regent Boylan's problem. Historically, in the past, everyone has just meant white males. So it's very important that we state what everyone actually means, so that we can acknowledge and recognize that everyone is truly everyone, if that helps you. The other one is, where does this go?
No, Madam Chair, that didn't help me, because the word everyone cannot mean just one race. So
it typically has.
That didn't help me, but thank you.
But it typically has. Historically, it has. Even in our Constitution, where it says the rights provided by every man or every body, it didn't mean everybody at the time. So I think we need to clarify that in this statement.
Okay. Thank you so much, ma'am.
You're welcome. Thank you. The other question was, where does it go from here? It will go to the full board for approval as a committee report. And at that time, we can have further discussion about how it got to this point and further clarification. And with that, Regent Joe Harlow.
Thank you, Chair. I'm really glad we're doing this. I feel like it's been long overdue, and I'm fully in support of it when it comes to the board. But the last be it resolved, the NCHE board members will uphold these principles. This word here, encourage education through anti-racist, anti-bias training for the board and members of the NCHE community. I would love to see a stronger word there. I mean, I appreciate the time that's gone into this. I really feel that this is almost, I don't know if we can mandate, but it should be required, just as we do training in January when new members come on board. We do the ethics and open meeting law training that we should not encourage. It should be required, because I know that when I came on this board in 2017, I attended my first Northern Nevada Diversity Summit. And, you know, I came from a very, you know, pretty white background. I mean, certainly I worked with, you know, other minorities and stuff, but I have to say, it really opened my eyes that whole day. And I talked about that before in another meeting here when I met Evie Buell from ELCO. But I really feel like this should not just be encouraged, should be required training. And I was very grateful that when Vice Chair Carvalho chaired the committee when we hired the new president at Nevada State College, that she saw the foresight and had that anti-bias training. I think that was helpful for the committee. But, you know, we all come from many, many different backgrounds on this board. And any future member that's coming in, we could have four new members come in January. And I really feel that when it comes time in January to have that first meeting where we have all the training, that we should have this incorporated in our training. So I would just recommend that we have a stronger word than encourage, and it should be the word require.
Okay.
This is my personal take.
Very good suggestion about onboarding. Maybe we can do that in policy, because we all have to do an onboarding. We all have to go through the open meeting law training. We all have to go through all those trainings. Maybe we can make that part of that. So that would be something for new business, if I'm like to put that in our regular training process.
I guess, but I was just, my suggestion was that you change the word encourage to require education, but that's up to your committee. I'm not even on your committee.
I think, but I appreciate the input. Any suggestions?
Tina Russom, Deputy General Counsel, Madam Chair, to you, or rather to Regent Del Carlo through you, it's difficult to place that word required in there. And I appreciate your passion, and I sense that, you know, you're being driven by your desire to encourage this, training towards eliminating bias and eliminating closed-mindedness. It's difficult to require it for all members of the NSHE community. And so when we look at that, be it further resolved, there's a second clause there. It talks about and members of the NSHE community. And what's important in that language is that that also includes our students, and that also includes our instructors. And so in terms of First Amendment concerns, it would be and on also practical concerns, it may be difficult to require anti-racist or anti-bias training, but it is something, as Madam Chair indicated, that could be brought into board policy, and it could be something that could be further explored at a later time after additional legal vetting for the NSHE community.
So could you change it to say that have it be required education for the board and encourage the education for members of the NSHE community? Just do it that? I mean, it should be required for the board. I mean, we set the policy.
Madam Chair, through you to Regent Del Carlo, I think that would be something I would want to further vet, just to make sure that we are in compliance with First Amendment. But I think that additionally, there are policies that this board, as you indicated, this board is charged with creation of policy, and you govern a lot of the trainings that you and new members are required to take or encouraged to take. I think that one of the concerns is enacting something that would be required but not enforceable. So I think that that's something that we can definitely take back, take consideration into, and make some decisions in terms of if that's something that's possible. Thank you for the question.
Thank you.
Okay, so that would be brought back at a later date, maybe to the full board meeting when we get there. The changes could be examined a little bit closer.
It is something that we can take under advisement in terms of, and I apologize, Tina Russom, Deputy General Counsel, Madam Chair, in response to a question from you. Yes, it's something that legal can vet and discuss, and it would be based upon whether or not there's a motion made today, and if such would include such that you would want legal to make that additional vetting or not.
Thank you so much for that answer. I appreciate that.
Madam Chair?
Regent Moran.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I'm prepared to make a motion, and let me give a little bit of, let me just give a little bit of an overview quick on this, since the item is on for action. And to move this forward, again, we want to move this forward quickly, but we also want to move this forward smart as well. What I would suggest is I could make a motion to approve as is. I recognize the hard work you, yourself, along with the committee and all of the other stakeholders have made with regards to this. Also, our administrative staff and the Attorney General's office, as well as our attorneys that are helping us out with this. And then possibly once this does get agendized to be considered by the full board, perhaps that would be the time to fine tune some of these items in either the preamble or possibly in the other areas body of this particular resolution. If that's something that that you think would be appropriate at this time, again, I can make a motion to approve it, to move it along, because it is very important. But I will defer to you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Regent Miranda. If you could hold off on your motion for a couple more minutes to allow Mr. Tillery some additional comments.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, for the record, Tillery Williams, System Administration. So to date, this resolution has also been vetted through the following groups: the Chancellor's Cabinet, the IDEA Council, the Council of Presidents, student leaders, and the Faculty Senate. Recently, the Nevada Faculty Alliance requested another minor change that should be made to the current draft, and that is to replace all references to the term protected hairstyles with the term protective hairstyles. The term protective hairstyles, which includes without limitations hairstyles such as natural hairstyles, afros, curls, braids, locks, and twists, is used in NRS section 396.530, which prohibits the Board of Regents from discriminating in the admission of students based on things such as national origin, religion, age, physical disability, race, etc. Also, at your request, Madam Chair, the resolution was also vetted through a number of critical community organizations committed to inclusion, diversity, equity, and access. And those organizations are as follows: the American Civil Liberties Union's Nevada chapter, the Las Vegas Asian Chamber, the Asian Community Development Center, the Reno Sparks Chamber, Faith in Action, Las Vegas Alliance of Black School Educators, the Latin Chamber of Commerce, the Las Vegas Native Indian Center, Make the Road Nevada, the NAACP, the Nevada Alliance for Student Diversity, the Nevada Commission on Minority Affairs, the Nevada Department of Veterans Services, the Nevada Minority Health and Equity Coalition, the Nevada Office of Inclusive Education, the Northern Nevada Latino Alliance, the Progressive Leadership Alliance of Nevada, Silver State Equality, the Urban Chamber of Las Vegas, and lastly, the Women's Chamber of Commerce of Nevada. With that being said, Madam Chair, that concludes my remarks.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. So does that change, Regent Moran, does that change your motion? Oh, before you make your motion, it says interim chief at the very, the seal. It just should say chief of staff now instead of interim, because we have the new chief of staff on board. So
Madam Chair, we can make that change. Thank you.
And with that, Regent Moran.
No, thank you, Madam Chair. And again, you know, diversity and inclusion, I mean, the landscape, as we all know, being that we all have our finger on the pulse, it is continuously evolving. And you know, many employers, much like us in higher education, public higher education, also K through 12, you know, we really need to continue rethinking our approach and the organizational impacts of these types of resolutions. And I want to commend again the stakeholders for moving this forward. At your delegation and Madam Chair, I think you've done a fine job. Again, diversity, it fosters innovation. It allows us to propel talent, attractions, you know, efforts, improves retention. Clearly, all of this information has come back extremely positive, and I'm glad that we're kind of ahead of the curve on this one. It really kind of makes me feel good. I'm sure it probably makes everyone else on this panel and involved in this particular endeavor feel good. and we're doing the right thing. So I will make a motion to approve this item with the recommended changes with regards to the language characterization in the Nevada revised statutes, meaning moving from protective to protected. I noted that change as well. And Killary, very fine job at getting everybody together, getting this thing put together, moving this in the right direction, and really covering everything that needed to be covered. I've seen a lot of this in big business in my profession, none of which is at the level of this particular resolution. And so, again, I commend you and the chair and everyone else that worked very, very hard on this particular item and bringing this resolution to the subcommittee, and looking forward to presenting it to the full board. Thank you, Madam Chair.
And I second the motion.
Okay, a motion made by Regent Moran, seconded by Regent Tarkanian. Before I call for the vote, I would like to leave it open for the chairs of the IDEA Council, or co-chairs of the IDEA Council, if they have anything to add at this time.
Sound check, everybody. Everybody hear me? For the record, Dana Trimble, DRI Diversity Officer and NG IDEA Council Chair. I first want to thank Chair Perkins and the IDEA Committee members for calling this special meeting to discuss the resolution. The IDEA Council appreciates the IDEA Committee bringing this forward again for discussion and the opportunity to have an open dialogue about the resolution. As you know, this resolution was created after the January 2022 board meeting. It was then added to the March meeting, but is informational only, as we discussed. In that meeting, Regent Del Carlo said it best when she stated that our words matter. Our words represent what NSHE stands for. Systems and institutions of higher education are a place where we are supposed to support and encourage each other to learn and become better members of society. It is a place where diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility should be championed. One of the most important things I have learned in my involvement in IDEA work is that it should be championed from the top. It is critical that we lead by example. If we expect our faculty, students, and staff to be respectful and supportive of each other, then our Board of Regents and NSHE leaders must use their language and actions to show their commitment to the equity principles they have been entrusted to represent. This resolution sets these expectations and provides accountability for the words of our leaders. I want to read the second to last whereas statement. I know you've read this, but I want to read it again because it summarizes the positive effect and importance of supporting this resolution. Whereas the board's commitment to equity and inclusivity and disavowal of discrimination through the use of strengths-based language, training, research, and education will serve as key levers in dismantling systemic bias and discrimination and institutional racism and increase cultural awareness, sensitivity, and training to ensure all members of the NSHE community are supported to thrive and excel. Our words and actions matter if we are truly committed to our role in supporting all members of our community. Again, I want to thank you for calling this special meeting. This, as Mr. Williams stated, this resolution has been vetted by through the Cabinet, the IDEA Council, the Council of Presidents, student leaders, faculty senates, NSHE Legal, as well as the many different external groups as requested by Regent Perkins. There have been no significant changes since the March draft, and we ask that the IDEA Committee vote to support this resolution and bring it forward for a vote at the full Board of Regents meeting in September. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I was looking for any other comments before we call for a vote. Okay. We have a motion on the floor made by Regent Moran, a second by Regent Tarkanian. And all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It carries unanimously. Thank you, everyone, for your hard work. I really, really appreciate it. I know it was a long time coming. And with that, we'll move on to new business. Regent Ariscotta, or Vice Chair Ariscotta.
Thank you very much, Chair Perkins. For new business, I would like to request a presentation at the December meeting and by the Institutional Disability Resource Center representatives on the services they provide to students with physical, visual, and hearing disabilities and the challenges those offices may face in supporting students. It's imperative that we have full inclusion on this committee and full inclusion throughout the system. Thank you very much.
Thank you for that. Any other new business? Regent Carvalho.
Thank you. I should just be a member of this committee. I'd like to add two new business items for your consideration for upcoming meetings. The first is regarding Title IV, Chapter 15, Section 4, Subsection 9, regarding granting in-state tuition for refugees. I did bring that up before, and I would love to see that on an agenda in the future, a presentation regarding what ENSHE can offer refugees in Nevada and how we can support them through ENSHE. My second item for new business is regarding the Supplier Diversity Spending and Inclusion Policy, and that's Title IV, Chapter 10, Section 2. There is an annual report that's supposed to be given to this committee, and I look forward to seeing that soon. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, making sure.
Any other new business? I have actually an item for new business. I noticed that on our statistics on the ENSHE site, it gives statistics by race and by ethnicity, but it doesn't give them by disability. Like our students, our faculty, it doesn't have like a chart that says we've employed this many people with disabilities. And I'd like to see that on our website. And with that, any other new business?
Madam Chair, just real quickly, again, Regent Moran.
Sure, Regent Moran, go ahead.
I just wanted to also recognize that we have our new hire, Mr. Kilroy. I see him on video today. I know that he is not currently working as of yet under his contract. I guess it has not started yet, but I wanted to say hello to him. And note his appearance for the record in, I guess, an observer capacity. So I wanted to say, you know, it's nice to see you, Bob, and looking forward to working with you. And I know we need to catch up from the other day, but I think it'll take more than maybe just an hour or so. But I'm glad that you're here and kind of getting your feet wet. Appreciate your time. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Regent Moran, and welcome. And with no more new business, I'll move to public comment. Any public comment in Reno? Thank you. Any public comment in Elko?
No.
Thank you. Any public comment in Las Vegas? And with that, did I hear? Okay. I thought I saw some motion on the screen there. Thank you, everyone, for this, and the meeting is adjourned.